When is the last time you learned a new skill for the first time? Maybe drawing or a musical instrument, a sport or a craft. Once we leave childhood, we tend to leave behind the regular practice of trying to learn new stuff. The author of a new book explores the experience of being a beginner in all kinds of skills. Surfing, drawing, singing, chess, and how it keeps us more engaged in other facets of our lives. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. When was the last time you were a beginner at something? What do you think is so unique about being completely new to learning something? Have you taken up a new activity or tried to teach yourself something during the pandemic? Something big or small? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tom Vanderbilt writes on design, technology, science, and culture. He's the author of several books. His latest is called Beginners, The Joy and Transformative Power of Lifelong Learning. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
You write that you're inspired in part by being a new parent, and even more so when your daughter and then you started taking on a chess. Talk about how that experience inspired your quest to learn how and why grownups can learn.
Sure. My daughter was four at the time when she asked if we could play a game of chess. And this was sort of embarrassing for me, but I actually didn't know how. And I tried to learn the game myself to pick it up, but it's a pretty complex game. So I felt a little bit over my head, ended up hiring a coach. This coach came over to give my daughter some lessons. And then I figured, what, I'd like to learn this as well. Why should I just sort of sit on the sidelines? And this was a pattern in my life where I was taking my daughter, who had this, like all children do, this real hunger for learning. I was taking her to all these lessons and then just sort of sitting on my phone usually nearby. And I thought, you know what? What's the last new skill I learned? I'm going to plunge in and do some of the things she's doing as well as some other things. And that was sort of the idea.
And you learned something there that keeps coming up through your book. Kids learn things one way, and it seems like they're, you know, really good at it in their way. Adults learn things, it seems like, in a different way. What is it about being a grown-up that makes that new thing different than it is for that four-year-old, say?
Yeah, I mean, there's two sort of broad categories here. There's the brain stuff, which, you know, kids just have these brains that are really optimized for learning, and they have these synapses that are, you know, sort of being connected and just a real hunger. And they have a very quick, what's called fluid intelligence. Adults, you know, I was in my 40s. I had four decades of already learning a bunch of other stuff, which was sort of sitting in my brain like an old crowded hard drive on your computer. So for me to learn something new, you know, I've got to get past all that other stuff. And if I go to learn a new language, well, maybe it sounds a little bit like another language I learned, or maybe my English grammar gets in the way of my Spanish grammar. But so the brain is one thing, but there's the whole lifestyle question as well. I mean, children, number one, very young children, most of the things they're learning are very important to them to learn. They're learning how to walk, to talk, to get along with other people. Adults, you know, when we learn, it tends to be, you know, sort of a more recreational thing, sort of hobbies. That's not necessarily survival at stake. But the other key thing there is pressure and fear. Kids, you know, just plunge in. They really don't know much pressure or fear. Adults, you know, overthink things. We worry about looking bad in front of other people. So it's hard.
Let's talk a little bit about the why. You know, if I pick up, and I have been trying to pick up new things. If I pick up something new at this stage in my life, I know I'm never going to be a star, an expert. It's not going to be my, I'm not going to make money doing it. So why do I want to learn a new thing in the first place, Tom?
Yeah, I think we've all been sort of, corrupted or whatever the word is by this 10,000 hours rule that people have probably heard about, which was from the sociologist Anders Ericsson, talking about how much practice you needed to become an expert level performer. Of course, you know, most of us don't have, you know, 100 hours to try to tackle something. But the good news is we don't need to be expert level performers. So I would argue that, you know, in 10 hours, I mean, the amount of time you might spend watching, binging a Netflix show, you could actually pick up some fairly decent skills in something like drawing. I mean, the great thing about the learning curve is that it's steep, which means at the beginning, you're making a lot of progress. There will be plateaus later, but that's sort of the great thing about learning, and what makes it so addictive in a way about being a beginner is that just that sort of excitement and thrill at the beginning, you're learning something new. And I would argue that you're really changing your self-identity a little bit. You're sort of expanding the notion of who you are, and then you can add these things to your sort of life resume, as it's been called. Like, I'm so-and-so, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a singer. It took me a while to feel comfortable calling myself a singer, but I'll own it now.
Now, one interesting thing you did was surfing, not a community, you write, that's necessarily known for being welcoming to the newcomer. But one thing you learned there and took as a lesson, and this is generally true, you can make some early progress, but there's often a point you hit where you get worse, or at least it feels like you get worse. It's the U-shaped learning curve. What is that, and how can we keep going past it?
Yeah, I mean, progress is not always linear. If you're learning to do something like surf, one day you'll go to the ocean, to the surf break, feels like you've got it dialed in, you're hitting all of these waves. The next day, maybe the conditions change just a little bit, something is off, you're still learning, and you catch zero waves. And there's various reasons for that, but often what's happening is you're approaching some sort of plateau, and you know, you're when your brain hurts, that's when you're learning. You know, the sad thing here is that, you know, when it feels good, that's when you've learned it. And that's a very nice feeling to have as an adult, to feel competent in something. But that means the learning has stopped. So if you're going to go after that next goal, it's going to have to hurt again. And that, again, is something that, you know, humans quite naturally try to avoid when possible, is having things frustrate them. But that is when learning is actually happening.
Talking to Tom Vanderbilt about his new book, Beginners, The Joy and Transformative Power of Lifelong Learning. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tackled learning something new, or maybe relearning something you used to do as a grown-up? What was it? How'd it go? Did you keep up with it? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Tom, you mentioned becoming a singer. And you hadn't been someone who people thought of as a singer. You went and you looked for a singing group that was, you know, easy enough for you to get into, but hard enough and good enough to present a challenge to you. Why was that the level you were shooting for?
Yeah, a psychologist call that desirable difficulty, where, you know, you're pushed just a little bit beyond the edge of your comfort zone. And, you know, I had been taking these private vocal lessons, which were fun, and I was making a lot of progress, but it also felt a little bit sterile. I was, you know, sort of like, imagine, you know, doing soccer drills in a gym day after day, like kicking the ball against the wall. I wanted to get out and sort of be in a real environment, like a game. So, you know, a choir to me seemed the safe zone, where I could be out in public performing, but have 50 or 60 people around me. So it wasn't, you know, no solos involved here. But but again, like, that's the great thing about learning in a class or a group with people. There were people of varying skill sets around me. I could draw upon their experience. After I was there a little while, suddenly I had a little bit of experience. I could sort of tell when a new person had joined the choir, and they had that deer in the headlights sort of look. And then I became, you know, let's say a small scale expert. But that's sort of, there's sort of a magic sweet spot that happens with people learning new things together. It's called a community of practice, and you know, we can use each other as a resource, not just the teacher.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Dan is with us in Milwaukee. Dan, hello.
Hello. All right, let me start off by saying my motto is everything is easy. All you have to do is try. And for the pandemic, I remodeled the bathroom, made a Volkswagen trike, built it out of a car, and got into EDM music composition with drum machines and synthesizers and all that. So.
Well, let's take that musical composition, Dan. Had you done something like that before?
No. I actually have no rhythm whatsoever. That's why I had to do it electronically.
I love it. Dan, thank you so much for sharing that. So, I don't know. Dan thinks everything's easy if you try it. There's still some challenges along the way, though, Tom, but I do like that attitude.
Yeah, and sometimes these things are sort of, you know, placed upon us from the outside. I mean, what he was saying about remodeling his bathroom, I've just moved into a house. I've been living in an apartment for many years where the super took care of things. Suddenly I'm in this house. I'm kind of a beginner in owning a house. So, you know, all these home maintenance things that a lot of people take for granted, they're like very new to me. And I've already been making, you know, some stupid mistakes, but I'm trying.
Now, and Dan also mentioned he's doing this stuff during the pandemic. You started this book, this project, at least, Tom, pre-pandemic. Do you see people taking on this idea of, hey, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to try something new?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, the pandemic, one thing about it is that it really turned us all into beginners of a sort. I mean, no one really was that cognizant in Zoom or remote schooling via computer for elementary school children. I mean, they're all wearing a mask. There were all these things we had to sort of fit into our daily life that were new and prevent, you know, it was a little bit unsettling. And after a little while, we got the drill. But you're right. So that sense of disruption, people, you know, didn't have their normal commute to work. They had a little extra time, or they weren't able to do the things they normally did. Open this huge window, and you basically look at all these metrics, like websites like Duolingo, the language app, or sales of guitars and guitar lesson sites, or chess learning websites have all absolutely exploded during the pandemic. If you're a gardener, you can't order seeds right now. I mean, there's just, we've sort of had, you know, we're hitting peak hobby, I think, which I think is great news, but it's definitely at a different place than I was a few years ago when I started the book.
We're talking to Tom Vanderbilt about his new book. It's called Beginners, The Joy and Transformative Power of Lifelong Learning. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's the last thing you took on to learn as a beginner? Have you ever learned something as a parent at the same time, maybe as your kid? Have you taken on some new activity or tried to teach yourself something during the pandemic, big or small? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with Tom Vanderbilt, author of the new book, Beginners, The Joy and Transformative Power of Lifelong Learning. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you taken on something new in your adult life? What was it? How'd it go? Did you feel self-conscious doing something that you just weren't that good at? Call 800-642-1234. We got an email from Pete in Reedsburg. Pete says he took up guitar at age 66. Guitar for the first time. He's working on a YouTube channel. He says, the nice thing about trying new things when you're old is that not only do you not care what others think of you, you've had time to figure out they were never thinking of you at all. Thanks for sending that in, Pete. And that's a thing for me, Tom, overcoming the self-consciousness. I've been trying to learn Spanish on one of those free language apps and some other ways. Long street going, great. I know the thing I need to do is find places where I have to speak to people in Spanish, and I'm just scared. I get paid to talk for a living, and the idea of, you know, talking worse than a little kid could talk, I don't know, it fills me with anxiety. How do we overcome, as Pete has, that self-consciousness?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, we spend our adult lives trying to project an image of competence. You know, you're working on your job, your career, your resume. You don't highlight the things you're not that good at on your resume. So to suddenly go out there in public and be sort of bad at something, you know, but he's right. You know, that there is this, on the other hand, there's this thing called imposter syndrome, where sometimes even in our jobs, we're sort of thinking, are we really that qualified? But that's what's sort of so liberating about plunging into something, especially with a class of other beginners. So then you're kind of all at you know, square one, that you're not worried about imposter syndrome, because no one actually expects you to be any good. And I think a lot of that, I think, comes with age definitely helps. I think put a little bit of that stuff in the rearview mirror and you lose that fear. But I still suffer from it myself. I mean, it's not something that you can do away with, I think.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Sandy is with us in Mauston. Sandy, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What have you learned, Sandy?
Well, I tell you, I'm a retired teacher. I used to do substitute teaching until COVID, and I had to do something. So I watched a lot of tutorials, and I'm learning to paint.
Cool. How's
and
it going?
I'm absolutely loving it.
Uh-huh. And do you feel like you're picking it up pretty quick, Sandy?
I feel like I am, yes. There are communities on Facebook where you can post your pictures, your paintings, and you get feedback. And, yeah, I found out I can actually paint, and I'm even learning to draw.
Fantastic. I'm glad to hear that, Sandy. And I like that, Tom, that she's joined a community and they're, you know, they offer advice and hopefully positive, constructive feedback. But again, that idea of having a community of people you're learning with seems like a big boost for this, as you discovered, Tom.
Absolutely. I mean, the motivation, the sense of sort of responsibility of getting feedback. And it sounds like also that she is taking classes online, which is something that, you know, when I was working on my book, because I wanted to, you know, get out and meet people and hear their stories, I was doing all in-person classes. And then, of course, when COVID happened, all of this stuff shifted online. I was a bit skeptical in the beginning, but I've taken online drawing courses. And in some ways, there's things you can do with technology online that are as good as, or in some ways even better than in person. So I think that's really that sort of revolution. And there's a lot of stuff that's available for free or not that expensive, you know, classes, videos, you can hire coaches all around the world, has really, again, made this sort of a golden age of learning, I think.
Thanks a lot for the call, Sandy. Keep it up for sure. We'll go to Ted now in Spooner. Ted, hello.
Yeah, hello.
What are you doing, Ted, or what have you done?
Well, when I was 65, I tried downhill or snowboarding, downhill skiing, but it switched over to snowboard. Well, that was a challenge. But I can say one thing. The younger people thought it was really cool that I was trying, and they stopped by and gave me hints left and right on how to do it.
All right. Did you keep it up, Ted, or was it a one-off like my downhill skiing experience was?
Well, I'd done it for 4 or 5 years, but now I had a total knee replacement, And the other knee is about ready to go. I don't think I should try it again.
That seems very reasonable. Ted, thank you for sharing that. That was one of the things, Tom, that you and I think your daughter, again, tried together.
Yeah, I'm not much of a skier, and I was not a snowboarder at all. But, you know, again, just I thought, okay, let's try it. And, you know, I sort of had this magic transformation of, and this is what I'm trying to, you know, urge in people. Just after one day, I had become basically a snowboarder. I'm not saying I was good at all, but I had ridden on a snowboard down a hill, which I think qualifies as a snowboarder. And this had not been in my life at all. And I mean, the caller raised a couple other interesting things. You know, there's this thing about one thing that's when learning a new skill, one frustrating thing is that the skills often don't transfer as well as we think they might. You'd think snowboarding and skiing are pretty identical, but there's a lot of different things there. And it can be hard, you know, the longer you've been doing one sport, to sort of switch over. And they do say snowboarding is easier to in the beginning and then harder to master, and it's the opposite with skiing. I'm not sure if that's actually true, but kudos to Ted for you know, not letting age get in the way. And I'm 52 now, but I've had experiences of doing things like playing video games, online video games with my daughter, Fortnite squads, and I get kudos from her 9-year-old friends. I'm not sure what that's worth, but you know, again, it's about sort of looking forward and not thinking you're ever too old or anything's inappropriate for you to learn, you know, at any age.
Now, can you talk about getting through the moments of frustration, that U-shaped curve we talked about earlier where I thought I was getting good and now I'm getting worse or at best plateauing? How do we power through that to get to the good side again?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just really have to walk away. I mean, rest. I mean, and there's, you know, sometimes taking a week off and your brain sort of works on the puzzles that you had in your head without even knowing it subconsciously and sort of sorts it out almost magically, I would say. And there's coaches have all sorts of tricks as well, too. I mean, just in terms of learning juggling, for example, I would sometimes be struggling and I seemed like I had it, then I suddenly couldn't get it. I almost, you know, had the equivalent of writer's block, but for juggling, I just couldn't juggle. So they would say, well, you know, change the room you're doing it in, change the backdrop you're throwing the balls against, change the hand you throw the ball with first, change the objects you're throwing. Basically, just change is good. It sort of like sparks the brain into thinking, approaching a problem from a new angle, which is really, you know, another thing that learning really is. It's just finding new solutions to new problems as they arise. If you do one drill too much, you sort of like over practice something, and it's really diminishing returns because it will only help solve one problem, where something like snowboarding, a lot of different things can happen. So you need to be very flexible. And this is something that another thing that really distinguishes infant and child learners is that kind of flexibility. They learn a lot through playful exploration, which includes a lot of mistakes as well.
in her last few moments. Tom, you've learned singing, surfing, juggling, chess, Fortnite, you just mentioned. Do you have your eye on your next learning project?
Well, my daughter just joined a mountain biking club, so I have on order a mountain bike. It's coming to me, but because of COVID, there's a huge demand for these sorts of things. So it's been a little bit delayed, but I expect to be out on the hills pretty soon.
All right. Well, best of luck to you on that. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
We've been talking to Tom Vanderbilt. He writes about things like design, technology, science, and culture. He's written a bunch of books. We've been talking about his latest. It's called Beginners, The Joy and Transformative Power of Lifelong Learning. There's still time for you to share your new thing, something you have been learning in the last few years, maybe the last few months. Tell us about it over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. What is new to you? How's it going? How did you learn it? How are you learning it? Let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.